Good morning, ladies. Hi. So you guys are here for Revolutionary Passion. You are in the right place. Amen. So my name is Danielle Knight. I am from the Awesome Queens Ministry. I was reached out to a few years ago in my sophomore year of college. I went to St. John's University, and I graduated from there. And I'll be 5 on Tuesday. So it'll be 5 years on Tuesday, which is super exciting. So this weekend we've been talking about being revolutionary, and revolutionary in every facet of our life. These are the different things that we're going to hit on this weekend, right? And so I think to be a part of any revolution, to be a part of any lasting impact, you have to have passion. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense if you didn't, right? Think of any movement ever, right? Civil rights, women's rights, Jesus. What would any of those movements look like if people were not passionate about it?
Yeah.
Right? The movement, it would look entirely different if Jesus wasn't passionate about why he came here. You know, none of us would be in this room if Jesus wasn't passionate about what God had called him to do. You know, so we've been using that term revolution a lot. It's on the definition is on the schedule. Yes, thank you. That's the word, the schedule. But does anyone, what is revolution? What is that to be revolutionary? Does anyone have like an idea? Someone wanna, thoughts? Comments. When you think of a revolutionary, like, what do you think of? Okay, go ahead,
change.
Go for it.
Change. Like a really strong change.
Strong change. Awesome. Yeah.
Somebody's bold.
Bold, courageous, right? Yeah.
You're thinking differently than how the crowd thinks.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So bold. Oh, here we go. Come on.
It could also mean like a change that you don't go back to. Like, mm-hmm. Not going back to what you changed.
So a consistent change, right? Yes. So. You're done with it. Yeah, done with the old, right? So, right, revolutionary, involving or causing a complete and dramatic change. You know, a person who works or engages in revolutions, right? So that's what we want in our lives. That's what we want in our walk with God. We don't want to go back. You don't want to go back to the way things were. You know, we don't, when we leave this weekend, we don't want to still be dealing with the old things.
Yeah.
But we'll take our old self with us, right? So it's time here to think about how we can change our minds and have revolutionary passion and a great walk with God, right? So that word passion, what do you guys think when you hear that word passion? What are some things that you're passionate about? Either one of those questions you want to answer. Yeah,
when I think of passion, I think of like fire, like your drive.
Fire, drive, yeah. Like that. Go ahead.
When I think of passion, I think of like zeal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm passionate about living.
Living.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's good. That's great. Any other thoughts? Yeah. You know, so passion is defined as strong or barely controllable, an intense desire or enthusiasm for something, a thing arousing enthusiasm. And even in the Google definition, it says the suffering and death of Jesus, right? So these are intense words. And right when I was defining them, I'm like, these are characteristics of Jesus. This is exactly who Jesus is and who we want to be like. I think about as Christian women and as women of God, we want to be passionate about the things that God was passionate about. Right? It is so easy for us to get passionate about worldly things. Music, we love music. We love movies. We love to get behind causes. Right, I love movies, right? I am that type of person, I can go to the movie theater by myself, get my popcorn, and like I'm chilling, like no one has to come with me, it doesn't matter. And then when I'm done, I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys have to go see this movie, it was amazing, this happened, then I want them to go see the movie so then we can sit down and talk about the movie, and then maybe we can go together, but like I'll go see it again. I'm excited about it. And so then I have to ask myself, am I just as passionate about godly things? Am I just as passionate about the things that Jesus and God were passionate about, right? It's not bad to be passionate about other things, but am I just as fired up? You know, do we burn with the things that hurt God? Are we alarmed at the sin that entangles us and our sisters and brothers? Do we find joy in the things that make God happy, right? We have to go after God rigorously with intense desire and enthusiasm to be part of his lasting change, right? So we're here for passion. What does passion look like, right? We see examples of that in the scripture, and I'm going to highlight 3 different instances of passion, but then also there's things that are trying to kill that flame, that passionate flame. So we're going to look at those passion killers, right? So what better place to start than with Jesus? So let's go to John 2. 13 to 17.
Come on, Danielle.
So it says, yeah, John 2, 13 to 17. Still have pages. Soon as almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove them from the temple courts. Both sheep and cattle, he scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Right? So zeal. Zeal for my house will consume me. Right? Another person, when they were defining passion, they were like, you know, I think of zeal. And that's true. It's great energy or enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause or objective. You know, so passion for his father's house consumed him. And it was clear. It was undeniable. You know, when people see you, where do they see that your passions lie? You know, it was so great what Kristen was sharing. You know, but it's clear and evident in our walks. You know, without saying a word, where would people say that your passions lie? So during the Passover, it was common for people to come to the temple court so they could sacrifice to God and thank him for saving their descendants from slavery in Egypt, right? So it was common to have people selling animals so that they could sacrifice and changing money because people had come from all over the world. The issue was that they forgot the point, you know, that it was no longer about how great God was, how amazing God was, how I can sacrifice and love God. They were there, they're just making money. You know, stop changing my father's house into a market. They forgot the point, you know? And that can be a big passion killer for us when we forget the point, when we're living purposelessly, you know? Is this you? Have you forgotten why you walk with God? Have you even thought about why you walk with God or why you should walk with God? When we don't know the point, it's really hard to be motivated because then we have to self-motivate. And that was not God's intention. God wants us to be closer and more connected with him than ever, you know? We can't be zealous if we don't know why we're here, who we're here for. And let me tell you, God has a point for you. You have a purpose, you know? God wants you to be connected to him. And he wants you to help other women to get connected to him, you know, to be a part of his powerful revolution. And I think that's what gave Jesus the drive to do what he did, because he was connected with his purpose, you know? So when his family was calling him crazy, and they were there too, and they were looking at him like a fool, when everyone around was like, what's going on? His convictions were unwavering. You know, it wasn't this whim of emotion, you know, let me go do this. He sat down, he made the course, he made the whip. And he made that decision, no, this cannot happen, right? He was connected. I know for me, when I was in college, in my freshman year, I came to New York from Baltimore, Maryland. That's where I was born and raised. And I just wanted to be away from home. So any college that let me do that, I was like, okay, cool, I'm there. So I got there. I didn't have a purpose. I didn't know why I was in New York. I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do as far as my major. And things just got really monotonous, doing the same thing over and over again, hoping to find a different result, hoping to find the point. And that just led me to get into a whole bunch of different things, right? Because we become self-reliant. And then that doesn't work out, and then we get sad. So we were trying to fill things to fill the void, you know? And so when I ended up getting reached out to and someone studied the Bible with me, I was absolutely blown away by the Bible. I was so, like, I had grown up going to Catholic schools all my life. I had grown up going to church on special occasions. And I was like, the Bible said this about me the entire time and no one said anything? No one said, this is how God feels about me? This is what God wants for my life? This is how he dreams for me? I was like, what is that? You know, when I got connected to my purpose, I was like, whoa, I want everyone to know. Did other girls out here not knowing this? You know, oh my gosh, I have to let them know. They need to be aware, right? When we get connected with our purpose, when we find the point, passion will come, right? And we only find that through the Word of God, you know? It's the Bible. It's the truth, finding your true identity there, okay? So let's go on. Let's look at another story. Let's look at Mark 5, 25 to 29. Mark 5, 25 to 29. Okay. It's really short. So it says, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she had been freed from her suffering. This is amazing. This woman had been bleeding for 12 years. You know, according to the Jewish custom, she would have been considered unclean. She wasn't allowed to be around the people, right? But there's a longing for her to get to Jesus, you know? What do you think are some of the things that woman was feeling in that moment? She's stuck. She's bleeding for 12 years. She just wants to get to Jesus. What are some adjectives you would use to describe this woman?
Desperate,
yeah. Anything else?
Hopeless,
yeah.
Tired,
absolutely.
Frustrated.
Lonely, for sure, right? Isolated, you know. I love that tired. We understand what it's like, you know. Just sick, don't want to be around anyone, I'm over it, you know? But she has this longing to get to Jesus. I also think she was insecure. Oh my gosh, that gnawing in the back of your mind, oh, they know I'm not supposed to be here. Oh my gosh, what if I go and he can't help me, you know? What if I go and he's disgusted with me, you know? We felt some of those things, that insecurity. Insecurity is a huge passion killer. You know, when we feed ourselves, and ourselves, we're the biggest obstacle. We sit in our mind and in our thoughts, and once again, we're not going back to the source, right? We've convinced ourselves that we're helpless, it's hopeless, it can't work, it won't work, right? She's gone to every single doctor, and she's only gotten worse, right? But that faith, if I just touch his cloak, I'll be healed. You know? Do you guys believe that? If I just get to Jesus, he can, he will heal me. Right? Some of our, a lot of times our insecurities come from secret, unconfessed, uncontrolled sin. You know? We're living in sin. We haven't gotten open about it. And now in our mind, we're like, everyone knows. I shouldn't be here, you know? Oh my gosh, how can I come to a retreat and talk about being revolutionary when I have all of this stuff that I'm holding on to? We're ashamed, right? And we think, I just need to, I'll fix myself and then I'll come to Jesus, you know? It's not how it works. That's not how it works. That's not at all what we see happening here. Are you desperate? Are you desperate for God? You know, are you sick of what's weighing you down? You know, there's so many insecurities that we can face. You know, society is blasting us with images, and we have this idea of how things are supposed to be and how they're supposed to work and what we want, how it's supposed to go, instead of going back to the source, you know, right? We can't be passionate if we're self-focused. It's not going to work, you know? And all these things are really connected, right? Because if we're self-focused, then we forget the point. We forget to go back to God, you know? It all goes hand in hand. We have to move ourselves out of the way, you know, and realize that God can and will do amazing things if we come to him and if we let him, right? In John 10:10, it says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you life and life to the full, right? Oh my gosh, how Satan wants to steal your joy. Oh my gosh, you don't need help. You don't need anyone telling you what you did wrong. You know in yourself, everything's wrong, you know? Satan, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, there I know for a lot of you, there is passion blooming inside of you, wanting to come out, you know? But Satan's driving it in and in, that it can't work, it won't work, you know, that it's not possible, right? This woman had to get to Jesus. I know for me, one of the things that would make me really insecure is dealing with my purity. Oh my gosh, dealing with my purity, struggling with masturbation, pornography, all these different things, and feeling so ashamed. I was that person that's like, oh, I'll fix it myself, and then I'll go get help, you know? And so I remember just having having long terms of victories, and then having that instance where it had been months, and then I just went into sin, and how ashamed I felt, you know? But I also wasn't desperate, you know? I was still so insecure and so focused on how other people are gonna see me, what they're gonna say, that I didn't wanna go to Jesus. Oh my God, Jesus is, he's so upset with me, you know? He's not gonna wanna use me. So then I didn't wanna really share my faith, because I'm a hypocrite, you know? I don't deserve to do that. I didn't want to talk about the Bible with people. How can I talk about the Bible when I'm struggling with this? You know? Not really seeing, once again, Jesus is the source, right? I had to get open. I had to get vulnerable. I had to get uncomfortably vulnerable with what was going on in my life. I had to go to women who are going to help me. Mm-hmm. Not women who are going to be a soundboard for my sin and like, yeah, girl, me too. No. Those women who are like, let's get to Jesus. Let's get on our knees. Let's fast. Let's do all that we can, because this is taking you away from the source, you know? So, guys, if you have that, if you have that thing that you are just trying to get to Jesus and you're just dragging something behind you, let it go. Get the help that you need. Go to the women that will help you, you know? I feel like this really, really segues into the next group of people that we're going to look at. Let's look at Luke 5, 17 to 26. On one of those days, while he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea, and also from Jerusalem. And the Lord's power to heal was in him. Just then, some men came carrying on a mat men who were paralyzed. They tried to bring him in and set him down before him. Since they could not find a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on the mat from the, through the roof tiles into the middle of the crowd before Jesus. Seeing their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to think, "Who is this man who speaks blasphemy, who can forgive sins but God alone?" But perceiving their thoughts, Jesus replied to them, "Why are you thinking this in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, I told the paralyzed man, 'I tell you, get up, pick up your mat, and go home.' Immediately he got up before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. Then everyone was astounded, and they were giving glory to God. And they were filled with awe and said, 'We have seen incredible things today.'" These friends were amazing. They're a great group of friends, you know? They worked together to get the man to God, this ultimate healer. You know, it wasn't about them and their needs. Oh, this is really hard. Oh my God, I gotta pick up this man. I have to move the tiles from this building, right? No, it wasn't about them. They weren't selfish. and selfishness, that can be a passion killer. Once again, that self-focused, what about me mentality, right? Mm-hmm. We're part of something bigger, and we have to know that and realize that. You know, are we doing all that we can to get our friends to Jesus? You know? And sometimes we can be complacent with that. Mm-hmm. You know? We see that they're hurting. We see that they need, we see that they have been or are in similar places as we are, and we just watch from the sidelines. Mm. I'm sorry. That's sad. It's not me, though. Mm. You know? Right? We see our sisters in deep situations. You know, situations that we ourselves would never, oh, I know I wouldn't do that, but I'm gonna let her do her. Mm-hmm. She'll figure it out. Someone else will tell her what she needs to do. You know, someone else will help her out and get her there. You know, they had to work together to get the job done. You know, these men had to come together and get the job done. They didn't try to figure out how they could do it. They had to bring him once again to Jesus. You know, are you willing to do what it takes? You know, are you willing to do what it takes to get people to Jesus, right? And this can be with friends that aren't Christians. This can be with our Christian friends as well. You know, with the sin that is amongst us. You know, are we doing all that we can to get them to Jesus? You know, when Jesus sees their faith, the faith of these men, he heals the man. You know, and everyone around them was astonished at what had happened. They had filled others with passion, with zeal, because they got to see this amazing miracle happen. You know, when we get people to Jesus, amazing things can and will happen. We are a part of it, you know, but we have to move ourselves out of the way. It won't get done otherwise, you know. I know in dealing with sin, it's a challenge. I have been in situations with friends or people I'm close to, and they just get open about their sin, you know? And I remember thinking, oh gosh, okay, what do you do with that? You know, how do I help, right? I love that these men weren't working alone, you know? Who do you need to get your friend to? You know, who do you need to team up and pair up with to get them to Jesus? You know, we're not meant to do this alone. What older, wiser women do you have in your life? Helping you, encouraging you, inspiring you. You know, what older, wiser women can you use to help get these people to God? Because we're not supposed to do it alone, you know? So when we're involved in, when we get selfishness out of the way, we get involved with our purpose. So purpose isn't just for us, right? Yeah, so I was in the middle of telling a story. I'm sorry, y'all. So I was struggling with not knowing what to do. And a lot of the times when dealing with my pride and dealing with my selfishness, I'm thinking, okay, what do I need to say? You know, what do I need to tell this girl? I'm leading her back to myself and not to God, right? So I want to make sure I'm saying all the right things and I'm doing all the right things. And, you know, did she get it? I think she got it. Okay, we're good. And then the sin was just getting bigger and bigger, you know, before my eyes. Right? I needed help, you know, but I was too selfish to go get it, you know? So eventually getting to the point where I was able to bring this girl to older women who were able to help, you know, to help her get and see Jesus clearly, the situation had blown, you know, tenfold, you know? Oh my gosh. And so then with that, the insecurities came back. Gosh, I'm a horrible friend, I'm a horrible disciple, I'm a terrible person, you know? Disconnected with the source again. It's not about me, you know? Right? And so making sure in that selfishness, we move ourselves out of the way. We're part of something bigger. I can't say that enough, you know? Because in that purposelessness, we get stuck in the here and now, you know, what we're gonna do when we graduate. You know, those are valid questions, important questions, you know. What are we going to do next week? Now. What about heaven? Eternity? Dreaming? Envisioning, oh, wow, this is, it's not just here. It's not just now. I'm dreaming for something bigger and better. you know, longing for something more, you know. I love what Kristen was sharing about that gratitude for what God has taken you from, you know, keeping that in our hearts. Ungratefulness. There's so many passion killers, and I only hit on three major ones, right? But there's so many, right? You know? So what fuels it? Right? And I was thinking, and I was, you know, sitting and in my pride once again, I was like, oh man, like Kristen was sharing too, like, oh, I wanna say something that's like, whoo, revolutionary. Like, I got it, I got the secret key. How do you fill your passion? You have to get deep in your word. It's the Bible. To have revolutionary passion, you need to be connected with the revolutionary, with the biggest revolution there ever was and ever will be. There's no special formula or answer. Are you connected with the source? Are you connected with God? Because I feel like when we are in his word, when we're really going after who God is and who he's calling us to be, how can we not get fired up about that? How can we not get excited? How can we not jump for joy when we see, like, when we come to Jesus and we see he heals us? Mm-hmm. When we get our friends to Jesus and we see him do great things. When we're connected with our purpose and we're just going after it with the heart of Jesus, you know? It doesn't get any bigger than that, you know? I like that it's simple, you know? I like that the answer is right at our fingertips, right on our phones. You know, sometimes I feel like we want it to be something special. We want it to be something from within. And what we'll do is, I gotta wait till I feel passionate, and then I'll read my Bible. Mm-hmm. I'll wait till I feel passionate, and then I'm gonna do what I need to do. Mm-hmm. You know, passion isn't an emotion. It's a decision, daily, you know? Reading your Bible and doing what it says, right? In John 8:31, it says, to the Jews who have believed in him, when you hold on to my teachings, then you are really my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We want it the other way around. Jesus, list out the truth and let me see what you got working on there, and then I'll make a decision if I want to follow it or not, you know? When Jesus is calling us to read this word, do what it says. Do it. You know? And then you will know the truth. Right? So, and all of this, ladies, just know that it's challenging. It is. It is. Taking these different things that are constantly coming at us daily, every single day, getting in the way of our passion and putting them aside and going back to God. It's challenging. God never said it would be easy. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it, right? But making that decision daily to live a passionate walk of obedience to God through his word, you know? So, yes, when you fill yourself with a revolutionary word, you will become a revolutionary woman filled with passion. Amen.